Welcome back for another deep dive. This time, we're going all the way to the end, the very end of Deuteronomy, chapter 34, to see what kind of wisdom it's got in store for us.
Yeah.
It's not just the end of Deuteronomy, though, right?
Yeah.
It's the culmination of the whole Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible.
It is.
And it definitely does not disappoint.
It does not. No, it ends with a bang, that's for sure.
It really does.
Full of transitions, you know, endings, beginnings, talking about death, but also legacy, the passing of leadership. And it all, of course, centers around Moses.
Yeah.
One of the most, arguably one of the most significant, you know, figures in biblical history.
Totally.
Yeah.
So we find Moses at 120 years old.
Wow.
Still going strong. The text really emphasizes that. Like, he's not weakened in any way.
Yes.
God calls him up to Mount Nebo. Shows him this panoramic view of the promised land.
The land flowing with milk and honey.
Exactly. But then he drops this bombshell. Moses isn't allowed to enter.
It's such a poignant moment.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you consider that Moses led the Israelites for 40 years through the wilderness, faced, you know, countless challenges, rebellions, but because of that one, you know, act of disobedience at Meribah,
yes,
where he struck the rock instead of speaking to it like God commanded,
right?
He can't enter.
It does make you wonder, like, why does this one act of disobedience
carry
so much weight,
right?
Like, he was under a lot of pressure, leading a whole nation of people.
That's true.
But the text doesn't really dwell on that. It's like, bam. This is what happened, and we're moving forward.
Yeah.
It really highlights that even the greatest leaders are accountable for their actions. And it kind of brings up these questions about, like, divine justice, divine mercy.
Right. Yeah. Which, I mean, theologians have debated for centuries,
this idea.
But for Moses, the focus really shifts to preparing his successor.
Joshua.
For this crazy task ahead.
Right. And that's where you get that. You know, we talked about mentorship.
Yes, and that's where it really comes in. It's not just handing over leadership. It's the laying on of hands.
Yeah.
This deliberate transfer of wisdom and authority. You get the sense that Moses poured everything he had into Joshua.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
To get him ready. Yeah.
Yeah, and it really speaks to Moses' character, too, you know?
Yes.
Despite this huge disappointment, not entering the promised land himself, he doesn't, you know, get bitter. He doesn't get resentful.
He doesn't give up.
He focuses on making sure the mission continues, even if it's not him leading the charge.
It's a powerful lesson, I think.
Yeah.
In, like, letting go of personal ambition for the sake of something greater.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Yeah, it really ties into this whole idea of legacy.
Yes.
You know, like, what we achieve in our lifetime is important, but it's the impact we have on others, the values we pass on.
Right.
That's what truly endures.
And speaking of enduring impact.
Yeah.
There's that really striking detail about God personally burying Moses.
Yes.
It says, no one knows his burial place to this day.
Wow.
It just adds this whole other, like, layer of mystery to this already larger-than-life figure.
It's fascinating, isn't it? I mean, you could interpret it as God's, you know, intimate connection with Moses, almost like a final private farewell.
Or it
could symbolize, like, the unknowability of God's ways, even in something as straightforward as death,
right.
You know?
It's interesting, too. Like, I'm also struck by how much the text emphasizes Moses' unique relationship with God.
Yes.
It says, there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face.
Yeah, that's a powerful statement.
It really sets him apart from any other leader.
Absolutely. And it's not just about the miracles or the law giving.
Right.
It's about that deep personal connection with the divine, that level of intimacy
and
understanding that's held up as a model for spiritual aspiration.
So where does all this, like, ancient wisdom leave us today?
Right? Yeah. I mean, most of us aren't leading nations or parting seas. Yeah. So how can we actually apply these concepts to our everyday lives?
That's the beauty of these stories, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, they offer these insights that resonate across, you know, millennia. Take the mentorship aspect, for example.
Yes.
It's a reminder that we all have something to teach and something to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's in our families, workplaces, or communities, investing in others' growth is a powerful way to leave a lasting legacy.
It makes me think about all the people who have really, like, poured into my life.
Yes.
You know, challenged me, guided me, and helped me to become who I am.
Mm.
And it makes me think about, how can I pay it forward, you know?
Right.
How can I support and encourage the next generation?
Exactly. And what about this idea of accepting limits?
Mm-hmm.
Like Moses not entering the promised land.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
It is a tough one. It's a tough pill to swallow sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But it reminds us that we're not in control of everything.
You know, there's humility in recognizing that.
Yeah.
And there's also freedom in letting go of outcomes that we can't control.
That definitely resonates with me.
Yeah.
There have definitely been times where I've had to, like, surrender my own ambitions or expectations and acknowledge that my path might not look the way I initially thought it would.
Right. And in those moments of surrender, we often discover new possibilities.
Yes.
Unexpected detours that lead to some incredible destinations.
Yeah.
You know, remember, Moses didn't cross the Jordan.
Right.
But his leadership paved the way for the Israelites to enter the promised land.
Yeah.
So his impact extended far beyond his own personal experience.
That's encouraging.
It is.
It's not always about reaching the finish line ourselves.
Mm.
Sometimes our greatest fulfillment comes from empowering others to achieve what we couldn't.
Exactly. And finally, we can't forget about Moses' deep connection with the divine. It's a challenge to all of us to cultivate our own spiritual lives, to seek that sense of purpose and guidance that comes from connecting with something bigger than ourselves.
Mm. It makes me think about all the different ways people find that connection, whether it's through, you know, prayer, meditation, being in nature, acts of service.
Yeah.
It's about finding what works for you.
Right.
And nurturing that relationship with the divine.
Exactly. And who knows, maybe in that process, we'll discover our own Mount Nebo moments.
I like that.
Those experiences that offer a glimpse of a greater purpose.
Yes.
And inspire us to live lives filled with meaning and impact.
So as we kind of wrap up our deep dive into Deuteronomy 34.
Yeah.
It's clear that this final chapter isn't just an ending.
No.
It's an invitation to reflect on our own lives, our leadership, our legacies, and our connection to something beyond ourselves.
Yeah, it's a reminder that even in the face of limitations and disappointments, there's always opportunity for growth, for passing on wisdom, and for making a difference in the world around us.
Yeah, it really does feel like this chapter, Deuteronomy 34, is just like packed with insights way beyond the actual like narrative itself. It's almost like a springboard for asking some like really big questions about how we live our lives.
I agree. Yeah. It's an invitation, I think, to consider like what kind of mark we want to leave on the world. What wisdom do we want to pass on, and what ultimately gives our lives meaning and purpose?
Yeah.
And even though, you know, Moses lived what, thousands of years ago?
Yeah.
His story still feels so relevant, surprisingly, today.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, it really does. I mean, think about like the challenges of leadership he faced. I mean, having to deal with difficult people.
Yeah.
Making tough decisions, navigating, you know, uncertainty and change.
Right.
These are all like challenges that leaders in any era can relate to.
Right.
I mean, whether they're running a company or heading a family or leading, you know, some community initiative.
It's so true. And then there's that whole like idea of legacy
that we've been talking about. It's not just about what we accomplish. It's like the ripple effects of our actions and the people we impact along the way.
Absolutely. It makes me think of that saying, like, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is today.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that we can start building our legacy now.
I love that.
Yeah.
No matter where we are.
Yeah.
It takes the pressure off of needing some like grand achievement.
Exactly.
To leave a mark.
It's the everyday choices.
Yeah.
The kindness we extend, the wisdom we share, you know, the positive impact we have on the lives around us.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Deuteronomy 34, I think it's really clear that this chapter, this final chapter, is more than just an ending. It's really an invitation to reflect, I think, on our own lives, our leadership, our legacies, and even our connection to, you know, something beyond ourselves.
It's a powerful reminder that even when we face limitations and disappointments, you know, there's always opportunity for growth, for passing on wisdom, and for making a difference in the world around us.
So thanks for joining us for this deep dive into Deuteronomy 34. We'll see you next time.